Pat Kerrigan here on the live line with us this morning is Mark Borden. He is the executive director of Sandy Hook Promise. Mark, so glad to have you with us this morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me.
And first of all, let me say from us here in Sonoma County, so very, very sorry about the loss of your son, Daniel, in 2012 at Sandy Hook Elementary School.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's something we just will never get used to hearing or managing.
Yeah, because there's just nothing like that experience in the universe. And since 2012, Mark, you've taken a very active part in the discussion about school safety, and that's taken you all over this country, hasn't it?
That's right, Pat. You know, Sandy Hook Promise has kind of identified a unique and maybe different way to speak to people about this. And we really invest a lot of time and effort in research into school safety and how can we prevent these things from happening, and how do we train people to recognize the warning signs that we know that are present before something like this happens.
And what might those be? What are the things that we all should be aware of?
So on our Sandy Hook Promise site, we have a large list of some of the warning signs that we've been able to determine are present. Mostly these don't lead to a tragedy, but, you know, if we capture one that does, I mean, it's certainly worth it. So somebody withdrawing, exclusionary behavior, bullying, an obsession with firearms, changing behavior, withdrawn, isolated behavior are some of the markers that people often display before a tragedy. Again, it's important to underscore that that does not mean somebody is on their way to self-harm or harming others.
Right.
But it certainly means that somebody needs maybe just to talk to somebody or have a conversation.
Yeah, reaching out to those who isolate is always a good idea under any circumstances. And I imagine, Mark, you feel or have felt up until recently, like so many of us have since what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary, and that is a bit disgusted and a bit frustrated and even a bit jaded because the solid action that was promised in 2012 has not come to fruition yet.
That's right. And it is discouraging, Pat, to see our elected officials, who we elected to act in our best interest and protect us, do nothing to that regard. And that's not true of all of them. There are some that are trying, but unfortunately, they're overshadowed by the ones that aren't. And I believe the groundswell is coming, and we are seeing it happen right now as this incredibly powerful new constituency joins this conversation, the face of these young people who are taking this on and advocating for their own future and creating the future that they want for themselves. And I think that's a force to be reckoned with, and it may not happen tomorrow, but I think these young people are going to lead the charge into a new, better, changing America.
Yeah, I think so many of us feel that same way, Mark, probably not in the same sense that you do, having lost a child to gun violence. And here we are during Youth Violence Prevention Awareness Week. And the March for Our Lives Saturday is really, you know, a marker, I think. What the Florida kids started and other students across the country have taken up, I think will really show as a force of nature on Saturday, the number of people who come out for the March for Our Lives.
Absolutely, Pat. We're going to observe these kids make history, and we will be with them. My wife, Jackie, and I, and my teenagers, James and Natalie, will be right there marching and supporting with them in Washington. And I believe this will be an event of historical proportions.
Yep.
That hopefully not only builds on the momentum we've already seen, but really kicks it up a few notches and gets this conversation going at the level that it needs to be. I mean, we need to be doing better than we are.
And you've been to some of these demonstrations, marches, protests, you know, or all of the above in several locations across the country. I think you were a part of one with regard to the Las Vegas Route 91 music shootings. And what is that experience like for you as a parent who's lost a son to gun violence?
It's hugely emotional, Pat, to see from my perspective, right? I'm on a very personal level, we'll be managing and trying to comprehend and deal with the fact that my 7-year-old son was shot to death in his first grade classroom. I mean, nobody should ever have to tell that story.
Yeah.
And to see people not only reeling from their own experience with this kind of a tragedy, but then to be taking action, I kind of take myself out of my own situation and just look at those people and say, how do you do this? Like, how do you go out there and advocate for a safer community in the midst of your grief? And then I realize, well, I guess I'm doing the same thing. I guess there's something that motivates you to try to prevent this from happening to other people, which is exactly what I'm doing. And that's what we do at Sandy Hook Promise. We know that this is preventable. And we know that we can train people how to recognize those warning signs and to take the action necessary to prevent this from happening and get somebody help before it becomes a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's a simple equation. We just need to get everybody on board doing it.
And how is the community of Sandy Hook doing, Mark?
You know, we will always have to reckon with the horror that visited our community, but it's a beautiful community. We loved it before this happened. We love it just as much now. The Newtown community has surrounded us with love and support like nothing I've ever seen. And to that, we are so fortunate. And so many people who suffer this tragedy that don't have that kind of support. So we find ourselves very fortunate.
And speaking of support, Mark, one of the things that I found remarkable up to now, and that is the inclusion, the people who show up for these events that are not students, that are not kids, that are moms and dads and friends and loved ones and neighbors and teachers and all of that stuff. And I think we're all going to see so much more of that kind of inclusion when it comes to Saturday's events.
Oh, I definitely agree. This is started and generated by the youth, but I think everybody has a stake in this game. Gun violence has no parameters or restrictions. It affects everybody, and I think we're going to see everybody engaged in this. And I just want to see that momentum continue to build.
Yeah, and build it will, no doubt. And I think one of the most important thing that's happening at all, I certainly think it will happen at most events like of its kind on Saturday, is that kids will be able to pre-register to vote at a lot of these events. And that's certainly an important part of this equation because, you know, the empowerment for kids of kids is a wonderful thing, but talk about power if, especially for the kids who are going to be voting this year or 2 years from now or whatever, then they've really got the power, don't they?
Oh, they do. And we're going to watch that happen, Pat. They are going to start to change and shape the political landscape in this country. And not only with their votes, but I would expect to see a lot of these kids occupying seats themselves.
Yeah.
And taking that change head on. And, I encourage them. You know, we saw that in Pennsylvania just last week, the power of, you know, I think that's a great message for people to see what your one vote means, because
yeah,
that election was, that margin was like 100 people or something. It's amazing for people to recognize the power of their vote and that people do need to vote. It's your responsibility and you can make the change with your vote.
And one of the things, you've got a couple of teenagers, Mark, and as teenagers, generally speaking, moving through life, there's not a lot of empowerment that they generally feel. They're still, you know, they're tugging at the halter, but they're still, you know, under a lot of rules and regulations and no's and things like that. So it must be every kid that I talk to that's involved in this process, I always ask, what's it like for you to feel like you're really carrying some weight here and you're really making a difference? And it's a pretty remarkable experience for kids too.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I mean, I see it at a personal level in my own kids when James and Natalie, you know, are becoming more involved and engaged. And I think it is because they feel empowered watching their peers actually take charge and make a significant difference. And I think it's a great message for them to know that they have the power to make change in a positive way. And again, you know, they're creating their own future. They should be able to just be kids.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they should be able to go to school and to the movies and the concerts without having to look over their shoulder for a gunman. So they're not accepting that, and they're going to change that, and they're going to create their own future.
Well, I think it's going to be.
I'm with them.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. And it's. I think it's really important, as we said, for parents and anybody who cares about kids to stand with them on Saturday and at all events like it beyond Saturday, because it will. I think it seems like, from at least looking at it kind of from afar, I don't have kids, Mark, but looking at it from my perspective, it seems like the success of this whole thrust, this whole effort on the part of kids is going to lie in the consistency of this effort, so that it obviously it's moved beyond what happened in Parkland. Now we're at the March for Our Lives, just about coming up Saturday, and it's going to take many such protests beyond that, don't you think?
Absolutely, Pat. I think you really nailed it right there. Is that everyone's gearing up for the march, and it's going to be huge, and it's going to be amazing and beautiful and powerful. But we do need to look beyond the march and really kind of build on the momentum. And the march should just be the kickoff for a real social movement, and that's what this is going to take. And so everybody should be on board with finding a gun violence prevention organization which resonates with their own values and getting involved with them at whatever level they can, having these conversations, continuing these conversations, talking to people who might not necessarily agree, and come to a meeting ground in the middle. I think there's a lot of power in that, rather than just preaching to the choir. I think we need to bring everybody into this conversation and talk about values that we agree on. Like, we can all agree that we want to protect our kids.
Yeah.
We can all agree that we want to make our community safer. We can all agree that we want to include people who are left out. We can all agree that we should learn how to identify the warning signs and get somebody connected to the help that they need before it becomes a tragedy. I think those are some good basic values that we can move forward with.
Well, you've got my vote, Mark. Just let me know when you're running and where you're running, and I'll campaign stump for you, okay?
Thanks. Well, Pat, I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. I know so many of us have been absolutely inspired with and by the students at Parkland, Florida, and their eloquence to begin this conversation on the high school level. And I hope that you receive some inspiration and some solace from all of that, too.
I sure do. I absolutely do. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Onward and upward. Mark, thanks for being here. That is Mark Barden. He is the executive director of Sandy Hook Promise. And yes, he lost his first grade son, one of 20 children killed by a gunman at Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012.